This message comes from Capital One. Your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services backed by the strength of a top 10 commercial bank. Visit CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. It's June, and the weather is heating up. Get ready for a hot summer in the Billy. I'm Bill Curtis, and here's a man convincing himself that technically a beach body is anybody you bring to the beach. Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. The summer of 2020 was canceled, so everybody is very excited for this summer, except we're rusty. It's been a while since we've had very much, What is that word again?
Fun. F-U-N. Noun. From the early English word, meaning to kick back with some buds and brews, crank the tunes, and maybe get out the slip and slide.
Right. Fun. So we thought as a tutorial, we'd bring you some of the most fun segments we've done in the last few months.
The top of that list was a visit with talk show hosts Desus and Mero. In March, the Bodega Boys had rocketed from podcast hosts to their own premium cable show. And as soon as Peter welcomed them, you could see why. Truly, they are the click and clack of Generation Z.
Desus and Mero, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thanks for having us. BX in the building.
That's right.
Get you ready for some chaos?
Yep. Yes. We may not be ready for you.
Let's go.
You know, one of my first questions was, are you guys like you are on the show in real life? And I think I now know the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people have this problem because sometimes we'll do like a 7 a.m. talk show. We'll do an 8 a.m. talk show. And people are like, how do you possibly have this amount of energy? And the truth is, it's a lot of cocaine.
Yeah. So, sure. Yes. Yeah. Did I get your origin story right? Because, your rise was extremely rapid, but my understanding is it started on Twitter. You guys had Twitter accounts, and people were like, those guys are great.
It was like a reconnection via Twitter. It was like the Craigslist ads. Like, I saw you on the train. You were wearing a blue hat. You were listening to French Montana. Yeah, let's connect.
It's amazing that two people on Twitter actually got along and created this thing. Because usually when you find someone that's opinionated, you just start cussing each other out.
You know what? We had similar opinions. And also, we both extremely hated our jobs at a time when it was all right for you to tweet verbatim how much you hated your job. So I created whole characters that I worked with, and people were just logging in because they were like, what's going on with Keisha? Your coworkers, people who knew who my coworkers were dating, and Mero was going through the same thing. So we were just going back and forth about who hates their job more.
Mero, what were you doing when all this started?
I was working at a school, at a junior high school that I attended. Shout out to Junior High School 117, BX Stand Up. It is what is referred to in the DOE as a high need school, which means you might get stabbed if you're a member of the faculty. So I was the only male paraprofessional in the school, and I was like 6 feet tall. So they put me in the class that was just like, yo, these dudes are about to age out of here, and they're all in gangs. So please just like help like the teacher not get murked by them, and we'll be fine. And I used to take 30-minute bathroom breaks and be like, yo, I'm going to the bathroom, and just sit in there and tweet. And then I got caught by the principal. And I made up this whole elaborate lie about how I was pre-writing tweets and sending them to my manager and having him tweet them out during the day. And then it all came to an end when it was just like I was on the cover of like the New York Times like arts and culture section or something like that. And the assistant principal walks in, this Irish dude, John Skelly. He walks in, he's like, the kid Mero, huh? The kid Mero. Well, the kid Mero is actually Mr. Martinez, and you need to get your ass in the room because it's 8:05.
Whoa.
And I was like, okay. I was like, all right.
So you're tweeting, you're blowing up on Twitter. You're on the cover of like New York Times arts section. And his only reaction was, you need to be in the classroom?
Yeah. He was like, I don't give a shit that you're in the New York Times, dog. You need to get over there because it's the kid throwing a desk.
You need to be the authority figure Mero right now, the adult
right
Mero
now
in the room.
Yeah.
Not the kid Mero anymore.
No more the kid Mero. You're the adult Mero.
We're never going to get through your whole career, but you went from the tweeting to the podcast to the show. Now you're on Showtime.
Showtime.
I've been watching you guys for a while. You seem to really like each other. Is that real, or is it like a Cisco?
It's like, you ever see when they do the boy bands?
Yeah.
Like, it's like that. Yeah. It's like total.
Scooter Braun put us together.
I'll go even further. Like, everything about the show is fake. Josh is not funny in real life. Josh is mean. Nah, we like each other because you know what it is? Because we started at the same, just when we first started the podcast, we had to literally share a Metro card to get home. So once you have that, and then we've had experiences that bond you for life. We got banned from the VMAs because I sat on a pregnant Kim Kardashian.
Okay, you sat on a pregnant Kim Kardashian. At the VMA.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
So, sorry, Saint. Yeah, so let me tell you this. So we go to the VMAs.
Yeah.
This is the first time ever we've ever been to like invited to anything like this in life.
Stop, wait a minute. Before you start, key to the note, people don't know this. The VMAs are open bar. We didn't know this. So we had a pregame. Yes. So we had a limo. We took the limo to a convenience store and we just got like liquor. So now we're at the VMAs, we are sauced up. We're taking pictures with the limo driver. We're scaring people. We're so excited to be there. And like, you know, it hasn't dawned on us, we're on TV as well. So all we're doing is just pointing at people like, yo, Vanessa Hudgens. Yo, oh, wow, that's Beyonce. I mean, oh, that's Rita Ora. Oh, all right, whatever. So we're just running around and we're just bothering everybody. You can see, they're just like, who are these two? Everyone's like, who are these two people? Why are they talking to everybody? And we're not talking to them like, hey, do we work on a project together? We're going to, hey, Jada Smith. Yer! And they're like, yo, we're trying to record. We're trying to record. And because, you know, we're a little out there, a little drunk, a little smizzy, I see this got to be like 7'4" tall Russian guy talking down to my guy, Mero. And you know, when you're like a little intoxicated, everything is like hazy and you don't really hear anything. All I'm just like, oh, you trying to fight my Bronx brother? I'll let Mero take it from there.
Yo, so I see Kanye West. And I'm like, this is it. This is our opportunity to get a photo with Kanye West. So I'm just like, hey, I'm like, yo, Kanye, what up? Yo, big fan, you know what I'm saying? Like, just keep talking, like, hoping that he's like, do I know you? Like, whatever. Then, like, as I said, Zangief from Street Fighter 2 stands in front of me. He's like, my friend, you cannot come any closer to Kanye West. You cannot come. But your boy had, a little Springsteen juice. You know what I'm saying? Feel me? I got very bold. You know what I'm saying? And I grew to his height magically. And I was like, nah. If Kanye doesn't want to take a picture with me and my man Jesus, I want him to tell me that, not you. And then Kanye's just like, I don't know if it's like out of pity or what. He's like, all right, man, come over here.
Yes.
So then we go over there.
He makes no effort to get out of his seat. And so we have to crouch down to take the photo. So as I'm crouching down, like I back into a pregnant Kim who's sitting there because I did not realize she is tiny in real life.
Yes.
So then I back into her and I guess she's like, Kanye. And Kanye turns to me and says the greatest quote, and I want this on my gravestone when I go home. She goes, watch out for my wife, dog. That's amazing.
Well, Jesus and Mero, I have a feeling we really could talk to you all day, but we have, in fact, some business to do. We have asked you here to play a game that we're calling
Knowledge Darts. Try these darts.
So you've got a book out called God Level Knowledge Darts. We thought we'd ask about real darts, the game, you know, that we play for fun, the Brits play seriously, and everybody plays drunk. So you got to answer two out of three questions correctly. Yes. Do that. You win our prize. That's the voice of anyone they might like on our show on their voicemail. So, Bill, who are Jesus and Mero playing for?
Sarah Long of New York, New York.
There you go.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Here's the first question. In the 1920s, a researcher from Johns Hopkins made a revolutionary discovery about the game of darts. What is it? A, an ancient cave painting in France is really a dartboard, making it the world's oldest sport. B, they discovered that men don't actually enjoy darts. They just enjoy explaining the rules of darts to women. Or C, the drunker you are, the better you shoot.
Oof. I want to say C, but I feel like A is probably correct.
Yeah. I mean, in my reality, my real life, it's C.
Definitely.
But for the purposes of this game, I'm going to go with A.
You're going to put aside your instincts to choose C, and you're going to go for A.
Should we go to a breakout room painting in France? Or should we just go A? We're going with A.
You're going to go for A.
We're going to go with A.
I tried to talk you out of it. It's C. It's the drunker you are, the better you shoot darts. Yeah.
That is true, because when you get drunk and you do bowling, you get better at bowling, but all my ex-girlfriends disagree. So, we have to see.
All right, you got two more chances here. This is not a problem.
Okay.
As you know, in England, darts, hugely competitive sport, very serious, people watch it on TV. And controversy hit the 2018 Grand Slam of Darts in England with both players in the final match accused the other player of doing what? A, farting constantly to ruin the other's game. B, muttering miss, 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 miss under their breath. Or C, using tiny motors on their darts to make them fly faster.
Let me see. What do you think, Amiro?
I think...
We really blew it on the first question. We can't do it.
Yeah, I know. And I feel like the more ridiculous the answer is, the more right it is.
Yeah.
So I'm tempted to go with the farting. I think a flatulence.
We're going with the fart. Yeah. We're going with the farting.
Of course it was farting. Yeah! That's what happened. They both said that the other guy farted so much they were distracted. One said to the other, it'll take me two nights to lose this smell from my nose.
But was he farting on purpose, or did he have like Chipotle or something before?
Well, the accusation was he was doing that. He was making it very hard to play because I was so distracted by the stink, and then they each denied it. One guy said, look, I'll tell you. You know me. Because professional darts players look and act exactly as you would expect professional darts players.
I have a vision in my head.
Every dart tournament ends with, oh, I'm late to pick up my kids.
I got them this weekend. Oh, my God.
All right. You got one more question here. So, believe it or not, there is an enthusiastic population of blind darts players, some of whom are pretty good.
Okay.
Britain, in fact, has a team entirely made up of blind players of darts. What is the team name? A, the Three Mice. B, we apologize in advance. Or C, the Optimists.
Optimists is big Monty Python energy. What? How you feel, Miro?
I agree.
You're right. Yeah! That's the one. The Optimists. Yeah! You just nailed that. Bill, how did Desus and Miro do in our quiz?
2 out of 3. That means they are winners. Champions.
Yes. That's right.
Season 3 of Desus and Miro is on Showtime now. Their book is God Level Knowledge Darts. Desus and Miro, thank you so much. You guys are awesome.
Thank you
for coming on. Wait, don't tell me.
Thank you, man.
Later, y'all.
When we come back, the king and queen of TikTok, by which we mean 2 septuagenarian Jews who are only vaguely aware of what TikTok is. We'll be back in a minute with more Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Intuit QuickBooks. Small business masterminds have one thing in common, making their money work harder with a business bank account from QuickBooks Money that now earns 5% annual percentage yield, making your money work as hard as you do. That's how you business differently. Learn more at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds in envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
It's time to emerge from our homes and get outside.
You have no idea what you're going to see there. You think you might know, but every time there's a mystery there that you're going to unearth.
All this week, Life Kit is headed outdoors with episodes on camping, birding, biking, and more. Listen to the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and here is your host, the man who secretly never stopped wearing white pants. It's Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. This week we are getting ready for the summer by reminding ourselves what it is like to enjoy ourselves. It has been a while.
Speak for yourself. My private menagerie is expensive and tough to clean, but it pays off when the monkeys get frisky.
Now, not everyone has a private menagerie with which to impress their friends. But back in 2017, we brought you a story in our Bluff the Listener game about new ways to impress a date. Here it is, featuring panelists Nagin Farsad, Mo Rocca, and Alonzo Bowden.
Hi, this is Abigail from Seattle, Washington.
Hey, Abigail, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, we're pretty good here in Salt Lake. So tell me, what do you do there in beautiful Seattle?
I am a elementary music teacher.
Oh, my God. I have been known to make fun of people for their jobs, but never music teachers. You guys are doing God's work, and I appreciate it. You're the best. Abigail, you're going to play our game in which you have to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Abigail's topic?
Best date ever.
All right. Just before we get into this, Abigail, are you single by any chance?
I sure am.
All right. Well, then this might be of particular interest to you because, as you may know, we often go to great lengths to impress our dates. You get a great reservation, you buy flowers, or in extreme cases, we look vaguely like our profile picture. This week, we heard about a new way to impress one's date. Our panelists are going to tell you about it. Pick that real one. You'll win our prize, the wait waiter of your choice on your voicemail. Are you ready to play?
I am.
All right. Your first new dating strategy comes from Alonzo Bowden.
Every woman loves a hero. Now you can be one for a fee. First, you invite your date to Hirakata Park in Osaka, Japan. Then, as you stroll around, a group of tough guys approach and insult your lady. You step up to the biggest one and flatten him. Now, if all goes according to plan, your girl is incredibly impressed with your manly courage and you live happily ever after. Admitting to her that this was all a prearranged paid stunt is up to you. So chivalry is not dead, it's available for a reasonable price. Hirakata Park sells various hero packages. If she's not into fake violence, you can defuse a bomb and save the masses, or be the only possible donor of a rare blood type that saves a life. So for a small fee and with a small rehearsal, you can be any woman's dream. Let's just hope she doesn't see the ad for the service or the charge on your credit card. And above all, you better hope she doesn't start taunting tough guys outside the park, saying, "My man can take any of you."
A park in Japan where you can pay to be attacked so you can beat up the bad guys and impress your date. Your next story of a new mating strategy is from Nagin Farsad.
So you're trying to impress a first date, but you really have nothing engaging to say because you have no personality and you've lived an uninteresting elevator music version of a life. Don't fret. There's a new service based in Florence, Italy called Banter for the Boring, or as the Italians call it, Flirtere per il Noioso. This service writes stories from a better life than yours that you can casually deliver on those tricky early dates when you're expected to speak. They'll cook up stories like that one about how you spent a summer building houses for the poor while hunting wild boar in Equatorial Guinea. Their master researchers will even tell you where Equatorial Guinea is. This Italian company guarantees you'll get a second date. However, they caution that once things get intimate, you're on your own. There are some things even they can't make more impressive. This is such a mean company.
An Italian company that will provide you the interesting life stories that you yourself lack. And your last story of an impressive date comes from Mo Rocca.
In Paraguay, chili means love, specifically Hormel chili. Turns out the word Hormel in the Indian language of Guarani translates as passion, which is why Hormel has been marketing its chili in new romantic ways to appeal to Paraguay's indigenous teens. There's a Hormel jewelry line. Quote, "When my boyfriend gave me a locket, I blushed," said 17-year-old Miley Ixtapapical. "When I opened the locket to find it filled with a scoop of Hormel Chunky, I nearly passed out." At the Hormel Love Hotel outside of the capital city of Asuncion, you and your squeeze can luxuriate in a heart-shaped tub filled with Hormel's cheese sauce. And at the Hormel-sponsored 75th wedding anniversary party for Paraguayan grandparents, Hume and Jessica Mixtacacacuatl, family and friends showered them not with confetti, but with ground beef and pinto beans.
All right, Abigail. This is what you heard. This is something that can be contributing to a date perhaps in your future. From Alonzo, a park in Japan which will provide paid people to pretend to be beaten up by you so as to impress your date. From Nagin Farsad, a company that will provide you the interesting stories about your life that you don't have because you haven't had one. Or from Mo Rocca, how Hormel, the chili brand, is an aphrodisiac among the indigenous people of Paraguay. So Abigail, one of those is something that is real. Which do you think it might be?
Well, I think I'm just going to have to go with the one that I really would like to be real, because I think it would be helpful, and that would be Nagin's, making my life more interesting to date.
Really? All right, so you're going to choose Nagin's story of the service in Italy that will provide you with interesting fictional stories about yourself. Well, we spoke, and I'm pleased to say this, we spoke to one of America's foremost experts on relationships and dating to tell us about the real story.
There's a theme park in Japan where you can arrange to stage this altercation in front of your girlfriend to impress her.
That was Dan Savage himself, the columnist and the host of Savage Lovecast, telling us indeed about this theme park in Japan where, as Alonzo told you, you can arrange to have some guy come up so you can beat him up and impress your date. You didn't win our prize. However, Nagin got a wonderful point,
hey.
A fabulous point.
Thanks for being wrong.
So thank you so much for playing, Abigail. I don't know if anybody had more fun during the pandemic than Mandy Patinkin and Catherine Grody. The married actors started doing videos at the urging of their son and became social media stars just by being, hilariously, themselves.
Peter began by asking Mandy, after 4 decades of performing, what role is he most recognized for?
I would say the most common, aren't you that guy from The Princess Bride, is probably the thing that happens the most.
Right. Now, for people who don't know, of course, he played Inigo Montoya, progenitor of the famous line. Do you want to go ahead and say it?
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
And we're done. Yeah, we're done.
That's it, you guys. We're going home.
I'm so done. I'm screaming.
There are worse things to be known for. That movie came out, God, I was just out of college. It was the late 80s, 88, around there.
Yeah.
And it is still hugely popular. Did you guys have any idea when you made that this was going to be like this cultural touchstone for like the rest of your lives?
Oh, God, no. It was, I certainly had fun. William Goldman wrote The Greatest Sword Fighter Ever. So I had the task of learning to be a sword fighter, which was sort of like a sporting event, very much like a sporting event. And that was my job. And
while wearing that bomb ass wig.
Yeah, I had. Well, actually, back then, three quarters of it was my own hair. No, I'm sorry. I'm wrong about that. It was called a 3/4 wig. So
right.
The front part was my own. And, and I wish I had it now. but then the movie came out and nobody saw it. It just what came and left. And then I heard that other movies had that similar treatment, like The Wizard of Oz and many other films. And then people in college started watching it, and they told their kids, and their kids told their kids, and then all of a sudden it became what it became.
Can I talk to you about your musical theater life?
No.
but you have to. You have to let me do this,
right?
Because you don't know this, but when I was 12, we had a very intense relationship. I learned every single lyric of the musical Evita. I became obsessed with it. And I didn't know how professional theater worked. And one day it dawned on me, what if Mandy Patinkin is sick one night and can't be in the show and people show up? And I know all the lyrics to Che. I need him to know that he can get in touch with me in case he needs to take the night off so all those people aren't disappointed and I can be a 12-year-old Che Guevara in Evita. So I just want you to know that I'm available.
Your mother had called me about this years ago, and I've had your number in my book ever since. I tried to get you twice, and you were busy.
Mo, do you still know the lyrics to the Che part in Evita?
Oh, what a circus. Oh, what a show. Argentina has gone to town over the death of an actress called Eva Perón. You can take it from here.
You hold on crazy, morning all day and morning all night. Falling
over ourselves to get all of the misery right.
I'm not going to say a word.
Ladies and
gentlemen, Mo Rocca.
Every thought I had in preparation for this interview has flown out of my head now. We have to talk about your latest form of fame, which is you've become a viral internet star on TikTok. I've seen some of the early ones that you did with your wife, Catherine,
And it seems as if you have no idea what your son has gotten you involved in.
Well, that's fairly true on any given day at any given moment. It is all because of our son, Gideon, who has this enjoyment of taking out his cell phone and asking us questions for, I would assume, family archives is what he often says. And so that's what we would do. And then we had a fight on our, what anniversary was it, honey?
The 42nd anniversary of our first date.
42nd anniversary of our first date. And I stopped at a forsythia tree and he asked us what's going on. And she said, well, we just had a fight. It was our anniversary. We had a fight. And then Catherine talked about it. And the next thing he said, can we put this out on your social media, which we began to with the International Rescue Committee to highlight the plight of refugees and help them have a new beginning. That was the whole purpose of our social media, and Gideon hijacked that. And so that's how it began.
It seems as if Catherine is there with you. Why don't you bring her on then?
Yes, it is. I recommend for everyone, you should tell your guests, never do an interview without your family members around.
We're joined now by Catherine. Hello, how are you?
Hello, everyone.
So you guys are now influencers. You're TikTok influencers.
I mean, honestly, to this moment, no insult to the young people that love TikTok. I honest to God do not understand it. It makes Twitter look like Shakespeare. I don't even know how to find TikTok. I don't even know how to find Instagram. I am completely, you know.
Happy.
Yes. That's the word you were searching for. You had your anniversary of your first date 42 years ago?
Yeah, it's extraordinary.
We heard a story, I don't know if it's true, that something to the effect that, Mandy, you said to Catherine on your first date, I'm going to marry you.
Yeah.
Yes, and then I believe she said to me with her finger up like this, pointing at me, you don't know what you're talking about, and I went click. I took a picture of it, and she said, you're an actor and a baby, and you're going to get hurt. And I said, that's okay. Now, she's pulling her hair out of her head. Because
right.
No matter what story I tell about this, it's the wrong version.
No, we don't have time on this program for that. You know.
Catherine, your rebuttal?
Michael Weller, who wrote the play, came up to me and said, what do you think about Mandy? And I said, oh, he's great. Wait a minute. You mean for me personally? I said, forget it. He's an actor. He's a baby. He's a little bit crazy. No, the next person I'm with is going to be the father of my children, and he's not. he was 25 years old. I was 31.
And we wanted to use this occasion to tell you that Mo Rocca is actually the father.
What's amazing about you, Catherine, and I want to say I genuinely admire this, even though when you're telling a story about how you were completely mistaken about something, you're still the smarter person.
Well, about memory, yeah.
No, she is the smarter person. She's the smartest one in the family.
Oh, God, that is
It is so true. It is true. It is true.
Catherine, you deserve at least 50% credit. You said, the next person I'm with will be the father of my children, and he won't be you. And you were half right. I think that counts for something.
Well, Mandy Patinkin, it's great to talk to you and Catherine, you too, but we have asked you here to play a game we're calling
TikTok, TikTok, TikTok.
So you are TikTok stars now. So we thought we'd ask you three questions about the original TikTok stars, which are clocks. Get two questions about clocks right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, the voice of anyone they might choose for their voicemail. Chioki, who is Mandy Patinkin and, may I say, Catherine Godey playing for?
Danny Rosen of West Hartford, Connecticut.
Here we go. Here's your first question. Before the invention of inexpensive clocks, people in Britain had to manage their time in different ways, including which of these? A, killing a mouse every morning and then telling time during the day by how badly it was smelling. B, hiring people to walk the streets of the city in the morning and wake them up by shooting at their windows with pea shooters. Or C, getting out of meetings by saying, oh, I'm sorry, I have a witch burning to get to.
Pea shooting.
Pea shooting? What was the
shooting pea? Shooting at the windows?
Okay, yeah, that sounds great.
That's the answer. Congratulations. That's the right one. These human alarm clocks were called knocker-uppers. That was the name of the job. They used pea shooters, at least in one instance. Sometimes they used canes or clubs to bang on the windows to get people up in time to get to work.
Wow.
Next question. Clocks are not beloved everywhere. In fact, schools in the UK announced they were removing clocks from classrooms. Why? A, students were stealing the clock hands and stabbing each other with them. B, to prevent students from yelling 10, 9, 8, etc. as the period came to a close. Or C, because students are simply no longer able to tell time.
Oh, wow.
C.
There you go.
You're right. That's exactly it. Students can no longer read analog clocks, so they're just removing them from classroom.
Oh, my God.
I know. All right, here's your last question. People pretend to hate daylight savings time, but most don't know the origin of daylight savings time. Was it A, Ben Franklin invented it as a joke? B, Mussolini came up with it because he couldn't figure out how else to get the trains to run on time? Or C, Napoleon invented it, so his army would always surprise the other side by getting there 1 hour early?
I'm pretty sure it's Ben Franklin.
You're right. It is Ben Franklin.
I knew it.
He sent a letter to the editor when he was in Paris as ambassador saying that, hey, if we all get up when the sun rises and go to bed when it sets, we'll all save money on candles.
There you go.
Jokey, how did Mandy Patinkin and his wife Catherine Grody do on our quiz?
After more than 40 years in show business and more than 40 years of marriage, I think it's safe to say this is the high
Mandy Patinkin and Catherine Grody are celebrated actors, singers, writers, and surprise TikTok stars. You can find them both on TikTok at Mandy Patinkin. Thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Enjoy yourselves, guys. Stay safe. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye. When we come back, our panelists show your kids how it's possible to have fun all on your own and the best band ever to play Cantor's Delicatessen. We'll be back in a minute with more Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Odoo. Do you run a business or manage a team? Then it is time to switch to Odoo. Odoo is a suite of business applications designed to streamline, automate, and simplify any company. Odoo has apps for everything: CRM, inventory, manufacturing, sales, accounting, you name it. Odoo's got you covered. So stop wasting time and start getting stuff done with Odoo. For a free trial, go to odoo.com/wait.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. It's easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself too thin. Therapy can provide the tools and self-awareness to help you learn how to recharge, define your boundaries, and build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp Online Therapy. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and here's your host, who's searching Amazon to see how realistic those fake six-pack abs t-shirts have gotten. It's Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. It is our Practicing for Summer Fun edition, and we want you and your kids to know that it's not necessary to buy expensive toys or invite famous people over to talk to have fun. No, you can find fun all on your own.
Expensive toys are great, though. I have a working model submarine the size of an actual submarine.
Well, still, all you really need to amuse yourself
Seriously,
is...
it has three nuclear-tipped Trident missiles on board.
That's really great, Bill, but...
Defy me and die in fire.
Here is our panel showing you how to enjoy yourselves peacefully. Yasser, very exciting news. There's been a major advancement in the Nerf arms race. Nerf has invented a new gun that can do what?
It has a laser scope.
No.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of something like violent, I guess.
It has armor-piercing ammunition.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, wait, hold on. An extended banana clip?
No. No, I'll give you a hint. It's sort of, you could say it shoots it like Beckham.
Wait, it has like a kickback?
No.
Just tell me. I'll never get this.
It shoots around corners.
That is by laws of physics impossible.
But it does.
Tell me.
You thought you were safe in the next room or crouched behind that couch. Think again. The Nerf rival curve shot fires foam ammo that can turn left or right or down, which means truly there is no place for America's younger brothers to hide.
I like that Nerf thought to themselves, you know what America needs right now is more of a sense that there's no escape. Yeah.
How can you be annoying?
The vibe we're picking up is that no one's on edge and people will think this is so chill.
Kids just love playing insurrection.
Oh, man. Yeah.
This story is yet another example of how adding Nerf in front of something turns it from a horrifying thing to a cool one. Like, new gun shoots around corners is really bad, but Nerf gun? That sounds like fun. It works for everything, as in, I tested positive for Nerf COVID. Adam, this week GQ did an in-depth interview with someone entirely about their famous hairstyle. Who was it?
It was Elvis.
No, it wasn't. He's dead. Really. Trust me.
Oh, wow. It was somebody with really famous hair, and I'm going to need a hint.
Okay. Well, Remember, we were just talking about pressure when you urinate. What do you take to combat that, a depressurization of your urinary tract?
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. You take Flomax.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Okay. Flomax. And then Flomax sounds like something you cut your hair with.
A Flobee.
Right. Yes. And who uses a Flobee to cut his hair to give himself that famous Caesar haircut and everything else afterwards?
Peter, I'm going to need a hint. George Clooney?
It's not George Clooney, which is why.
Oh, I thought it was George Clooney.
It wasn't George Clooney. I would also point out.
God, Peter, I'm going to need a hint, not for Mo.
I revealed my urinary tract problems just
you
for
did.
That.
You did.
Just to clue me into the wrong answer.
Adam, you'd like a hint. All right, here we go. Dearest Martha, today I washed my tresses in the Susquehanna and combed them into what my adjutant calls a mullet. Your Ooh. Devoted Samuel.
Ooh.
Dearest Martha, it's George Washington?
Well, I need like the Ashokan farewell playing behind that.
Is it Ken Burns? What are we
yes,
talking
it's
about
Ken
here?
Burns. GQ interviewed.
Burns has famous hair.
For decades, Ken Burns has been his own personal 9-part series on the history of the bowl cut. But during lockdown, he has had to let his hair grow out. And I got to tell you, it is like Fabio level sexy. That feeling in your loins, that's the Ken Burns effect. So,
I haven't seen that.
And it's amazing. I mean, it is amazingly good looking hair.
Well, part of what he's doing is he conditions it with sepia. To give it that tone, you know?
Yeah, I know.
December 4th, I feel I shall never see gel again.
His luxurious shoulder-length hair looks so good that GQ declared a style alert and called him for an interview. We're really excited for their next feature on Werner Herzog's rippling thighs.
I love that the pandemic has turned Ken Burns into that librarian who takes her glasses off and lets her hair
down. Pretty much. Yeah, exactly.
He's in every music video.
He's a veteran of the Battle of Split Ends, which was decisive.
Tom, conspiracy theorists have long accused Bill Gates of being an evil genius who's trying to implant humans with microchips. That, of course, is ridiculous. As it turns out, Bill Gates is really working on a plan to do what?
Get everybody to just carry the tracking device in their pocket.
No.
No, he did that. I need another hint.
Well, he it's part of his concern for health. He never wants anyone to suffer a sunburn again.
Well, by wearing sunscreen
is
too obvious. By wearing leather, it would work.
He's going right to the source.
Oh, he wants to put a sunshade up in space.
Exactly. He wants to block out the sun.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That seems like real evil genius stuff there.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
In an announcement made this week, Bill Gates said he is supporting the Stratospheric Controlled Perturbation Experiment, which sounds like the dirtiest thing Bill Gates has ever thought of doing. It kind of makes sense. You can go blind from both too much staring at the sun and too much perturbation. The SCPE, as it is called, plans to spray a sun-reflecting aerosol into the atmosphere in an attempt to help combat the effects of global warming. project could cost upwards of $10 billion because purchasing that many bottles of Aquanet is not cheap.
Didn't Dr. Evil try this in like the second movie?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Austin Powers saved us from this once already.
Yeah.
It sounds like Simon Bar-Sinister. It sounds like something out of Underdog.
If he gets a white cat, it's over.
Support for NPR and the following message come from the American Cancer Society. Dr. Alpa Patel leads a team that researches cancer risk factors, and she shares how a new study aims to impact an underrepresented community.
My greatest hope for the Voices of Black Women study is that it will help us understand and identify culturally tailored ways to change and really eliminate the unacceptable disparities for future generations of Black women as it relates to cancer.
To learn more, go to voices.cancer.org.
One of the most important skills people have had to master this last year was having fun with their family. And after a year and a half of that, we never want to see any of those people again. But those skills might still come in handy.
So as a model, here's Esty and Alana Heim, who are not only sisters, but with their third sister, Danielle, are the band Heim. Peter asked them about their first family band and their early gigs at a deli in Los Angeles.
We had a band with our parents called Rockenheim. It was a cover band. We would only play covers. And our first gig was when I think I was either 7 or 8, and it was at the Kibitz Room. And we got paid in matzball soup because that's like what the payment is there. And that was like our first gig. Like my first gig was at a bar. Now we're like actually friends with the Cantor's family because they can't get rid of us, where they're like once every couple of days you could find us at Cantor's before COVID.
For people who don't know, Cantor's is like the classic old deli in LA. It's in the Fairfax district, which historically was the Jewish district. And I just love the idea that one day, I don't know how long ago, 20 years, somebody walked in and said, hey, there's a nice Jewish family playing in the other room. Want to have a drink?
Well, there actually was literally one person in the crowd. It was like one guy. There was like one guy that he must have been like the guy that just goes there every night to just get wasted. And he was the only person there. He was sitting at the bar. And I remember there's video of it, of me, Esty, and Danielle. We were all wearing like butterfly clips and like limited two outfits,
like sparkly jeans.
Like I think my shirt said like soccer on it, like soccer,
or like 99% angel, 1% devil.
Oh my god!
And there was like a guy. There was a guy that could not believe that we were playing our instruments, and in the video you hear him screaming like, "This isn't real!" And you can see that. Danielle,
you had one audience member, and he was a heckler.
He was a heckler. And you see Danielle like in the video, like she's doing like
terrifying.
Danielle's first solo that she ever learned was Hotel California.
What?
And she played the whole solo, and she was like 9 or 10, and the guy was like, "Where's the recording?"
Wait, I can't even. Can we just back up and talk about the fact that your parents pimped you out like the Von Trapp family?
Well, it's actually a pretty crazy thing. My dad, so my parents have always loved playing music. They were never professionals. They just like, my dad played drums, my mom played guitar, and like her claim to fame is that she won the Gong Show like when she was around my age.
That's awesome.
And my dad always tells a story like that he had a dream, like literally like a prophecy, like a dream that he woke up one night in the middle of the night and like woke up my mom and was like, "I just had a dream that we had a band with the kids and I think we should do it."
Oh, wow. Amazing. How old were you at the time?
I was like 4 when we started Rockenheim, and the only thing that I could play was like percussions. Like my dad would give me like a cowbell and like a tambourine, like very Partridge Family style, like the only thing I could play. And Danielle started when she was, how old, Esty?
Danielle started when she was like 5 or 6 and surpassed me, and I was like 8 or 9, and like, imagine the older sister looking at the middle sister, and she's just like, she's literally like the Steve Van Zandt at like 6 years old. And I'm sitting here like, I can barely push on the string.
So
Your father says, I had this dream, we're going to be a band. And the fact that you guys were not like, this is crazy, this is weird, we don't want anything to do with this. But you're like, yes. And now you're like a huge hit band that you play Saturday Night Live and guests with Taylor Swift. This is really weird.
It was cool, though, because the thing is, my parents, we only had radio in our car. So we would only play K-Earth 101, which was like the oldies station. But like we would record songs on a tape deck and then learn them by ear, like with my mom. Like we would all sit around and like learn the chords. And like for me, because we would pretty much only listen to K-Earth, I was like learning songs that were on the radio, not knowing that they were like really old songs. Like I thought the Beatles were like alive and well and playing like touring. I was like, we should go see these guys. They're really great. I mean, once we got into like our teen years, it was like, mom,
it got a little tougher.
We want to play like Sublime.
Your teen rebellion wasn't like, yes, we're going to be in a band just like you insisted that we are, but our rebellion is we're going to shift our repertoire. Yeah, take that.
Exactly.
So, like, and growing up, I personally thought every family had a family band. So I didn't think that it was weird. And it wasn't until I was in middle school, basically, or like fifth grade, when I asked my friends were like, we're going to go to the mall on Saturday. Essie, do you want to go? And I was like, I mean, yeah, but like, aren't you in rehearsal?
How did you guys tell, once you guys hit it big, how did you tell your parents they weren't in the band anymore?
Well, yeah. We kicked mom and dad out of the band. I mean, they were just stoked that we wanted to be in a band with each other. Like they thought we weren't like killing each other by the time we were teenagers. It was never like a you will play music and you will be a rock band. It was
the opposite of anything. Yeah, we're like, yeah. We think it's fun, but also get a job and go to college.
are they still like that? Or they're like, yes, playing Saturday Night Live is nice, but you know, there is like a post-BA pre-med thing you guys could do.
I mean, my mom and I still talk about, my mom's like, you ever think you're going to get like, you know, a master's degree? You think you can go now? What if we get hot to get in? I'm like, Mom,
we have to go on tour.
We have to go on tour, Mom. Like, you know, education's important in this family.
My parents gave up on me and Danielle.
Danielle and Alana were hanging out behind the dumpster at our high school smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
Well, that also works if you're going to go into music. Well, yes. Esty and Alana, it is a joy to talk to you, but we have invited you here to play a game we're calling...
You're My Wonderwall.
So you two, with your sister, are part of a successful sibling band. And basically, you have one job. Don't be like Oasis. That band's founding brothers, Liam and Noel Gallagher, became legendary for the feuds that led to the eventual breakup of the band. So we're going to ask you three questions about the Gallaghers. And if you answer two of them correctly, you will win our prize for one of our listeners.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Here we go.
Bill, how are Esty and Alana Haim playing for?
Amy Lee of Phoenix, Arizona.
All right, here's your first question about Oasis and the Gallaghers. Oh, Liam and Noel Gallagher's fights and feuds were notorious for most of the band's career. In fact, someone once capitalized on their reputation for fighting by doing what? A special Liam and Noel edition of Rock'em Sock'em Robots was released by Mattel. B, a 9-minute recording of one of their arguments was released as a single by a record label. Or C, a pair of tag team pro wrestlers who called themselves Croasis, and their gimmick was they'd always end up beating up each other.
Oh my God, Essie, do you know?
I think it might be B.
All right, it's B. That's what happened. This single was released under the name Wibbling Rivalry and went to number 52 in the British pop charts.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
We should cover it on our next record.
All right. Here's your next question. In 1996, the band appeared on MTV's live concert show Unplugged, but Noel announced when he got on stage that Liam wasn't going to be there. Where was Liam? Was he A, locked in the dressing room exactly where Noel had left him, B, at Noel's house setting fire to it, or C, in the audience heckling Noel?
Should we go with A? You think he locked him in the dressing room?
Let's go with A. Let's just see what happens.
Let Liam lock Noel in the dressing room. No, in fact, Liam was sitting in the audience and he heckled.
Oh, that makes me angry.
You just need one more and you win.
One more.
No one will ever remember you got one wrong as long as you win. Otherwise, it's lifelong shame. The brothers were famous for dissing each other in the press. Which of these was once said by Noel about Liam? A, quote, "The only thing that keeps me from punching him in the face every minute of the day is that he looks like me." B, quote, "He's like a man with a fork in a world of soup."
Or C, quote, I have immense respect for his musical talents, but sadly we have differing visions of what we next wish to explore.
I think it's B, the soup one.
Do you agree?
Oh my God, I'm so scared. Yes.
It's B, yes.
Yay! Okay.
Bill, how did two of the Heim sisters do on our show?
They got two right, and here you win with two.
Absolutely. Yay! It's all you needed. Yay! Yay!
All I wanted.
Esty and Alana Heim are two-thirds of the band Heim with her sister Danielle. Their new album, Women in Music Part 3, is up for Album of the Year and Best Rock Performance at this year's Grammy Awards. Esty and Alana, what an absolute joy to talk to you. Thank you so much for being on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Me. Thank you guys so much for having us.
That's it for our fun tutorial edition of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Cyber Reason, a cybersecurity company dedicated to helping enterprises stop ransomware. While attackers hold businesses to ransom, Cyber Reason works to protect them. More at cyberreason.com/ransom. DuckDuckGo, a privacy company committed to raising the standard of trust online. Used by tens of millions, they work to help people search privately and avoid trackers. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. And Progressive Insurance, offering Snapshot, a program that adjusts insurance rates based on safe driving habits. Now that's Progressive. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord, Philip Gotica writes our limericks, our social media superstar is Emma Choi, our web guru is Beth Novi. BJ Lederman composed our theme, our program is produced by Jennifer Mills, Miles Dernboss, and Lillian King. Our cabana boy is Peter Gwynn, technical direction is from Lorna White, our business and ops manager is Colin Miller, our production manager is Robert Newhouse, and our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Thanks to everybody you heard this week, all of our panelists, all of our guests, of course, Bill Curtis, and thanks to all of you for listening. We will meet you all outside just as soon as we finish our chores. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll be back with a new show next week. This is NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Intuit QuickBooks. Small business masterminds have one thing in common, making their money work harder with a business bank account from QuickBooks Money that now earns 5% annual percentage yield, making your money work as hard as you do. That's how you business differently. Learn more at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds in envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Online. Is your child asking questions on their homework you don't feel equipped to answer? IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And NPR listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.